All right, what's up, and welcome back to an abnormally scheduled Breaking Blue podcast. Basically, we're bored, and we have a podcast, and we remember that when we're, instead of talking about sports on the phone, let's just make our phone conversations podcast, right? So we're just going to do that and have a good time with it tonight. Going to a couple of these, and then...
See, that's what's good about late night.
Like, get to the bottom of these.
Like, it's drink. It's not your normal time, you know, your normal 8 o'clock where stuff still might be happening. It is 12:30 in the morning.
Exactly.
We can... it's a let loose. It's time to, like, it's a good time to just let loose.
Yeah, we
like,
can do these.
That's why this time of night is good.
Wyatt, I got a special guest going to join us in a minute when we get to some NBA talk or whatever we're going to talk about tonight. But first of all, let's just go ahead and get it out of the way. You had some recruiting intel. Let's hear this, man. What's this recruiting intel that you were telling me about so conspicuously over the day?
Yeah, I'm not really sure about the timeline of when this goes up, but Kristen Collins should be making his decision on Thursday.
And this will be up on Thursday. We're going to get this out quick, then, if that's the case.
As far as the Cats go, I'm not too confident right now. It seems like USC has got some ground. Teammate Taj Ariza also committed there, so that's kind of something to watch. And also, it's you can just read to the tea leaves and kind of figure out like where Kentucky stands with this one. It's honestly pretty quiet. Like, this camp is really quiet, and I do think USC leads as we get ready for an announcement.
Yeah, real quick, can you hear this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, making sure it's been all funky, but I'd like to have him, but at the same time, I think we can live. We can live without him. Kind of like a Caleb Wilson thing to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just...
And we're going to see if we can live without him, because I think I can totally see a world where he's insane this year for North Carolina.
Honestly, it's just... Like, this one was one I felt confident from, but I knew USC would be a factor.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew Kentucky would be a top contender, but USC was always one from the jump, just because the way his mom and he would talk about USC a lot. You could just tell that the homeschool factor kind of played into that.
What about Tyron Stokes? Anything else on that?
Actually, what a day. So there is actually some reclass rumors for Tyron Stokes, but those have quickly been shot down.
Yeah.
Actually made me panic a little bit. So I got back from the media family day and made some texts and a couple calls, and it's I don't think those are real. But in terms of a decision, I would say soon, but my source keeps telling me he keeps changing his mind. So and he did mention something about announcing at HoopHall, which is in January. So we'll see.
We're gonna be in this for a while with him. I'm an outsider reading this situation. This guy's interesting.
We'll see. I am confident in Kentucky's spot, but the longer this does drag on, because I've been told a decision has been made, but in terms of an announcement, like it's unclear when. But
What percentage chance to you is it that Kentucky's the decision that's been made?
The longer this goes on, man, I just feel
like... But if the decision's made already, right?
But there could still be a possibility of a flip. Like, I never rule that out in the role.
No, I mean, Kate Cunningham proved that one, right?
And especially a personality, no offense, like Stokes, because he likes to play with people, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it, but I do think I would probably say 75 Kentucky right now. Gone down a little bit just because the longer this goes on. But I am confident in taking the position.
That way with recruiting in general with Mark Pope. The longer it goes on, the worse I feel, right?
And also, like with Darren Rippey, I was always confident in Kentucky, and it seems like, you know, Syracuse and Duke have kind of made some ground there, but But again, it comes down to Pope has to land a big fish. Like, we can both agree on that.
Yeah. Pope has.
Like, he has time. To do it. He can't. Yeah. Like, everybody say Pope with. Like, it's time. It's actually time. Like, no more missing out.
And I mean, to me, though, like, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I don't care about getting the number one player. I do. Mm. It'd be fun. But I don't have to have it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things are so – G League players are about to start playing in college basketball again. By the way, I do not agree with that. I just want to put that out there. I think you are opening Pandora's box with that. This is going to be a disaster. I'm calling it right now. This is going to be a disaster.
You know it's bad when you text a few scouts and they leave you on red from because, like, you just want to know their take because they're scouting. And it's like, scouts takes for stuff like that is very, like, take their word.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they don't want to ruffle any feathers. You can kind of know what they're thinking. So.
I'm
with you on that.
I think it's a bad idea, but it doesn't seem fair. I just don't think it's as important. I don't think it's as important as it used to be.
Is there an age barrier on the G League?
Isn't it about whether you've played an NBA game, though, or something like that? There's no age barrier.
What if a guy's been in the G League for 5 years?
Yeah, like, can I be a 30-year-old man and go back to college? First of all.
You know what? I feel like
I think one day, and this isn't like the immediate future, but like long term. One day we're just going to straight up let people play college basketball again if they're just straight up enrolled in college.
Yeah.
Like Anthony Davis. Let's say a guy like Anthony Davis decides, well, I'm going to finish my master's degree or something. Hmm. I'm going to go play another year at Kentucky. And then they do that. By the way, it won't work. No team should ever build around 39-year-old men. In this circumstance, it'd be really like stupid.
You're turning it into a junior. The G League. Honestly, I don't think the G League really lasts for long.
It's not looking good. Yeah,
But I'm also scared that that might turn into college. Like, college will welcome older players.
I'm not opposed in football and basketball. Old people are going to rip me apart. To letting players that are undrafted come back to college. I'm not opposed.
Undrafted, I get. But
undrafted, not signed with the team.
I just want an age barrier, honestly.
And I mean undrafted as in that year's draft, they didn't get drafted, but they want to go back to college, and they got a year of eligibility left. Let them finish their eligibility. I don't see a problem with that. But, you know, who knows?
The NCAA, man. You never know. You never
what
know.
Are you, what are your thoughts on the NCAA? Really, let's go that deep. What do you think about what's going on right now? Not good.
It's no, because I will say that the guidelines are getting a little better, but it's
slightly it's a day by day thing with them.
But they should have not let this turn into the Wild West like it is now, and the money problem. Obviously, they got to try the cap, but
the greed still, in college sports is.
But still, like yes, like what. What you're saying, the greed.
It's unlike anything right now. Yes. I mean, they make the NFL look good with the greed. That goes in like where they're trying to, for some reason, expand the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting. I don't know if this is a deciding factor in his recruitment or not. And I'm not saying USC for sure. But with Kristen Collins, USC has a lot of money. A lot of money. Because they can throw out a single player like that. And Eric Musk, he's a really good recruiter.
But you see, that's really the thing that you say right there that, like, that shows the difference between Kentucky and everywhere else. We're not going to throw money at one player. We're just not going to do that. And Mark Pope doesn't roll like that, and Kentucky doesn't roll like
USC,
that. We're more worried about the actual
USC's NIL roster. Is actually – like basketball wise, it's pretty hot, And I'm not sure.
It's like third or fourth, is it not?
Yeah, yeah.
They were the number one. I mean, I know.
Yeah, they are really, really hot.
We spend money like crazy. But by the way, I guess that leads to this point. Nick Roush, our buddy Nick Roush. Did you see this? I say our buddy. I've never met Nick Roush, but you get my point. Know people who know Nick Roush. They seem to all like him. He went on some radio show. I don't know what it's called. It's something in Birmingham, Alabama.
I might have seen this, yeah.
And suggested that maybe Dabo Swinney and Kentucky would be a good match for each other. My tweet says it all. I think that would be the worst idea anyone has ever had.
It's awful, man. What has he proven?
What? I mean, he won championships and has refused change and has actively killed the program that he's built.
Exactly.
He's not even the John Calipari of college football. At least Cal has learned to adapt at Arkansas.
You know what it is? It's the Cal if he never left.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, that's what I would say.
Yes, and it might even be worse because Clemson wasn't that good. I'd say from Kentucky standards to Clemson, those years, four Final Fours in 5 years.
That's basically that, both of them did that, did they not? Clemson got the two titles.
I would say, okay, you're kind of right. But, yeah, like they're both it's Cal if he never left. It really is.
First of all, if it happened, what would you think?
I wouldn't see where you get where's the benefit come from, and how are you getting better?
Okay, here's my thing.
And he's in the SEC.
I could talk myself into it. I could talk myself into it. First of all, I'd have to hear out of his mouth that he's investigated. What am I saying? I've had one
invest.
Yeah, he's invested in NIL and the transfer portal, because you can't, there's no way. Can you ever go to a school like Kentucky and not use the transfer portal and expect to win in modern football? The answer is no. You cannot get the high school talent to Kentucky. I don't care if you're Dabo Swinney. I don't care if you're Bear Bryant. I mean, you're just not going
to. I'm with you, man. I just don't trust it. I don't trust that.
But I could talk myself into it. I could totally see this happening, and one of the circumstances being that the athletic department tells him, hey, man, look, you're going to have to get portal and stuff, and schematically, it's fine. He's still good in that circumstance. I mean, he's playing. His offense is still fun. His defense is tough usually. Yeah. I mean, I could talk myself into this all day. It's Dabo Swinney. Who are we going to get that's Dabo Swinney? Like, you know, who are we going to get? John Sumrall, who is still number one. You don't agree with me. We got to argue with each other.
From the coach's pedigree, like, nobody else comes close to two titles.
Yeah, but, you see my point there.
But is he washed? And can he get back to that?
The thing to me on that would be, is he going to change, and will anyone tell him to change? I don't know that I trust Mitch Barnhart to do that.
Would he come here without anybody telling him to change, or would they be like, you know, take?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Take your mediocre program.
I don't know. That leads to another question. Scale of zero
to get you. Just to get it right, was Nick advocating for it?
No, I don't think. I don't know that he was necessarily. Well, maybe a little bit, but I think it was mostly like what if Dabo wanted out of Clemson, and which is a valid point on his part. I'm not going to lie; that's a valid point. That situation is almost untenable over there. But I want your opinion here: 0% to 100%. What percentage do you trust Mitch Barnhart to make the correct hire for this football team? The percentage chance he gets it right.
65.
I'm 40.
Hmm.
I have no trust in him whatsoever, hardly.
I don't have a lot of trust in him. We might have mentioned this the last time, but I'm more willing to take a little bit more of a risk than I would basketball wise. You've got more of a room to grow.
I am, but football.
But basketball, it's like we want it now. You know?
I am also, but I also doubt his ability to read a risk that could work out really well in football compared to basketball. Mark Pope was a risk, but let's also be honest, him being an alumni here and also his style of basketball, it was probably, we were all overreacting for 3 hours, and then after that we were okay with it, you know?
Yeah.
After when it hit midnight and we were good. I take back everything I said. I don't know that there's anything like that in football for him. You know what I mean? Don't know who that would be. John Sumrall, I don't even know if I consider a risk anymore. I'm starting to believe that wherever he goes, he's probably just going to win because he's a winner. Will Stein's a little bit of a risk, but he's also a coordinator type where just like, yeah, this is going to work somewhere. He's like Josh Heupel, stuff like that. I guess your risk hires would be a guy like Ryan Grubb or a guy like Brian Hartline would be a risk hire to me. People have started mentioning Gilbert Riley. Yeah, that would be a risk hire. Stuff like that, you know?
Okay, well, now that I think about it, but wouldn't James Franklin's resume, you know, kind of the...
Technically, but...
Be the same, or not saying two titles, just scratch that, but like...
The difference between those two is the record against the top 25 and the top 10 teams. They can't beat them. Dabo Sweeney can. I mean, he's done it. And he's beaten SEC teams regularly, too.
Wow, I am starting to get... I didn't mean to get bought in like this, but the more you say
that... No, don't buy in. I'm not trying to buy in.
But the more you... I mean, I could be talked into it just because the way, you know, the big wins, like Stoops, would always find itself back against the wall. But I feel like Dabo could, you know, get to that bowl game with a... non-SEC game schedule and find those big wins to help it, you know?
Yeah, and I just...
Maybe, but he's got to change.
It would be a Mitch Barnhart thing to do is my point.
You think those personalities mesh?
Well, that's what Nick Roush said. That was his point, was that those personalities definitely mesh, and I'm definitely going to take his word for it there. He's not right all the time. Nobody's right all the time. I just want to make that clear. But I think he's definitely he's got a really good point there.
They do sound pretty similar.
Yeah, like a good old top button, all that stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But I read that Athletic article about John Sumrall. I know you did too after I sent it to you. And that gap from first to second and third widened for me.
Bought a free trial, read it all.
I already. I get it for free, actually, through school. Mm. You should, too.
I thought I had it, but it logged me out, and I didn't.
You can log in for college.
But actually, I think I used my normal email.
What are you doing, dude?
I don't know, man.
Anyway, I read that, and this guy's crazy. John Sumrall is insane. I hope we know this, by the way. And I want that to be our coach so bad. This guy is like Kurt Cignetti levels of, oh my God, he's crazy. Did you hear what he said about the UTSA coach today? Or about the UT, no. Not the coach, but the program today? Mm-hmm. He accused them today of pumping in fake noise and stuff like that and said there's no way that it gets that loud over there, but we're focused on going 1-0. He said it should be illegal.
Loud noise. They were playing that today at the practice. During practice, to like simulate loud noise. And I was talking with somebody, and they were like, "Yeah, some NFL teams actually do that too, during games."
Yeah.
And I'm like,
the Atlanta Falcons.
And he's like, some of the stinky teams will do it. And I'm like,
wow. Okay, you didn't have to say that. We know.
So they do it every game, even though when they're good.
No, they got caught doing it and had to pay a bunch of fines and lost picks and all this stuff. It was a whole debacle. But I am so bought in on John Sumrall. I went today and actually watched his offense because the whole thing I keep hearing from people is Stoops Jr. He plays like Mark Stoops on offense. He does not He does to an extent, but it's fun Mark Stoops ball is the best way I'd put it. RPO galore, but they throw it down the field. A lot of play action in that too, which I loved. A lot of second down play action. It was so fun to watch. It's beautiful. Like, and I'm not talking like dink and dunk passes. I'm talking we're slinging the rock up the middle of the field, yeah. Stuff like that. Dude, it's getting me hyped. It's an actual like offense that could work.
Kind of like William Cullen.
To an extent. Don't get me wrong. I still lean towards that spread offense. That's what I want here. I want the spread, you know, air raid sort of offense. But if we're going to get a guy like Summerall, I mean, that's pretty close to the stuff that they're doing at Indiana and places like that. You can win doing that. It would be different to win like that in the SEC, but you can do it. And with how good his defenses are, too. So.
Yeah.
They have also a genius at offensive coordinator that a lot of people are linking to like big jobs too.
This could be a hell of a defensive unit if you know you actually end up keeping Brad White, which a lot of people are saying to get rid of. Like just clean the house.
I'm not there with him. A couple years ago.
I feel like I'm the only advocate for him.
Well, no, I'm not going to sit here and act like he's perfect or that he's great even. I think he's over.
I don't want to say overrated about our own coach.
He's a little overrated.
I just feel like a lot of times these past few years he's saved Kentucky in a lot of games, and he needs more credit for that.
I think that and Texas even, game was a really, really, really well-crafted game plan. Yeah. And I think the Ole Miss game last year was that way.
The secondary
it's terrible. Even healthy, I'm not going to act like healthy that they're good either. They're not even good healthy. No, they're terrible.
And you know Brad White scratching his head like there's really nothing they can do.
This is like the best pass rush he's had in a really long time too.
Yes. That's why the Texas game was so close. Because the pass rush kept getting Arch Manning over and over and over.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the offense remains as wide open against Auburn for Bush Hamden as it was against Tennessee? Or do we go back to the conservative, stupid play calls?
I don't know. I think it's open.
I think we're going to go back to the conservative. But he always does
Are they so tight in this game because they know what rides on it?
I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's going to happen.
We do not need to take any risk.
Not playing to win, playing to not lose. I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. And also, think about it. Yeah. Every year we play Tennessee, that is what happens. We open it up completely on offense, and then for some reason the next week we just get right back to whatever we were doing.
I know we talked about it, and people keep saying like it's the hot seat bowl. So
it is. Whoever loses gets fired that Sunday, probably.
But I just don't see Mitch being the kind of guy that midseason. I just don't.
If it's bad enough, I see
the decision where it's like, okay, like he sees it and he's like,
this is going to have to happen.
He's like, it's going to have to happen. I'm just going to wait. Maybe.
Hang on. Let me get our special guest here. Hey, Sam. Come here, buddy.
There we go.
All right. Let's get someone else's opinion on Mark Stoops for a change, right? No, come on. Okay, sure. Go ahead. He's going to bring a chair in here. We talk about Mark Stoops all the time, and everyone in the world knows our opinion on Mark Stoops. I think it's time. I think I could take these headphones off real quick, and we can just let it ride real quick. So, here's the mic. Sorry, this is going to suck for the listeners.
We still on? Oh, I can't hear. Yeah, I can't hear you, man.
All right, what about now?
There we go. There we go.
So the worst part, like, about the, like,
I was like, what is happening?
All right, so. So, Sam, Mark Stoops, buddy, you're never on this podcast. You I think, represent the average common fan. I'm not going to lie here. You're in tune. You're in tune with stuff that's going on. You watch the games, but I don't think you're, like, on the message boards or necessarily deep on, so stuff like that. You're not listening to us talk all the time that often.
I can't avoid it.
Yeah, I mean, that
I'm too. In the other room.
But, so, what do you think about Mark Stoops? No, I mean, I think I'm going to assume, what do you think? Hot seat? No. Should they fire him? What should they do?
Okay.
Do
you want a, like, a narrow?
Just give me your yes or no. Should they fire him?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. We have the resources to win games. It's a new era of college football. I mean, it's like there's no reason to keep him. If you want logistical reasons, I mean, plenty of other people have already said them. But it really boils down to we're losing games over coaching consistently. We're getting out-coached consistently. We're not bringing in the talent to compete with schools in our similar price range.
I don't know about the talent part. I think the recruiting's not that bad, actually.
No, I mean, I don't think it's bad, but I mean, we're still not.
The one commit we've gotten.
But I will say it's tough. It's tough to gauge that just because the money aspect of it, because it's, and you can mention this to him, but it's the money aspect for it for me.
The money is there, though. You did see that John Hill or someone said that they're spending more money on the roster in football than they are in basketball.
I will say, if you'll allow me to elaborate for one second,
go ahead.
About recruiting.
You're on here, man.
I think the big thing for me that really flags poorly in the recruiting sector has been these constant misses from transfer quarterbacks.
Oh yeah,
one is like, okay, we got duped. Two in a row is really bad.
Okay, it's not even two; it's three. I want to go for that. Like, I'll ask you in a second, Wyatt.
I wasn't gonna do it, but I think it's fair.
I think the biggest mistake Stoops has made all year is the fact that he thought he was gonna come into this year and not play Cutter Bowley with how good he's been in October. That's, to me, in itself, like, fireable. I don't know about you, Wyatt, but.
Yeah, I fully.
We went and got Zach Calzada to come play starting quarterback when we had Cutter Bowley on the bench. I'm not convinced that Cutter Bowley would be the starter right now if Calzada didn't get hurt. I'm just not. Yeah,
I feel like this last year you had him in the system and you were developing him, but this year should have been his time. But you were going to wait him again for what?
Exactly.
Another. Wasted year when he already knows.
2 years, we're really going to be the school that gives someone two years. The junior year. Like, that's been his weakest point, I think, in his whole coaching tenure is the fact that he's been so incapable of developing a high school talent.
You bring that up too, and actually, I'm not going to lie, I did think about that earlier this year.
I thought we've talked about it before.
When he first brought him in, okay.
For me, it was like Terry Wilson was a transfer, I guess, technically. Okay, whatever. He won 10 games. I mean, but he wasn't. Him after his injury was a different player. Will Levis was great. One of the best quarterbacks in the history of the whole school. Devin Leary fooled everybody. Everybody. A lot of, like, Florida State, people like that. Like, he fooled all these big schools. Mm-hmm. Brock Vandegrift was a complete whiff. I hate that Brock had to retire. He was not good, even when healthy here. And Zach Calzada wasn't even a whiff.
The O-line didn't really help.
The O-line killed both of them. I mean, Leary and Vandegrift. I mean, really.
Literally.
But
almost literally from the
– for Vandegrift.
Yeah, because, I mean, that man was so banged up after
we talk about it. I've told you. We talk about it all the time. I've told you, and I've told people in spaces. That South Carolina game last year is the most cringe game I've ever watched in my life with how much he got hit.
It was pain.
It was literally like, I'm scared of this guy's well-being right now. You know, he got hit, like, he got hit, like, 14 times or 15 times in that game entirely. Like, it was crazy. But anyway, so you say Mark Stoops, yeah, you want fired. I think that represents pretty much 1,000% of the fan base.
Well, there's little niche 1%.
It's not much. It's like people who are 85 and try to claim that, well, y'all are all spoiled. So but I went down that rabbit hole Monday. So if Mark Stoops is gone, I asked Wyatt, what's percentage for you? I mean, you know a little bit about Mitch Barnhart, but you know maybe not quite as much as...
I mean, I've never shook the guy's hand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Mitch Barnhart like that either, but like, you get my point. 0% to 100% percentage that you trust Mitch Barnhart's going to get it right. Percentage chance he gets this higher right.
Get it right just in general, or get it right based on what's available when he makes the fire?
That's a good point, but that's a good point.
Honestly, if I had to weigh in a larger answer, I think pure speculation, I have no reason of saying this other than an opinion, I think we'll probably sit on our hands too long because this coaching carousel is moving so quickly. It's already started with Brian Kelly being ousted. It's already started with James Franklin being ousted. Right. And we're falling behind already. And in his previous firings, Calipari, Mitch hasn't done a good job at staying ahead of the curve.
No, I'm going to push back on you on that. I thought he did a phenomenal job with the Cal search and how quick it was. I thought that was incredible.
No. I thought the coaching search itself was – I'm not arguing that. I mean, we hired
– Talk about sitting on his hands to make the decision.
Yes.
Yeah, no, yeah, yes. You're right. Yeah. It
took us like 3 days.
Well, no, he was coming back.
Yeah.
He was coming back. Like, that was happening, you know. Like,
That's not a good sign when you're trying to evaluate an AD, and that's really all you have to go off
of. That's my thing, too, because, like, I'm just worried that – we're going to get to Saturday and Kentucky loses, and we're still going to be like, we know what's happening. Just do it.
Worst case scenario is we lose by 3. 10-3. Some range like that. That's terrible because I know Mitch Barnhart's not going to fire him if that happens. And the fan base is going to go crazy that Sunday. If you thought it was bad on the Sunday when Brian Kelly got fired after the Tennessee game, it's going to be 1,000 times that. I mean, it's going to be terrible. And if you lose Florida and you still somehow don't fire him then actually you are shooting yourself in the foot as far as getting ahead of the search. You're literally cutting off your hand despite your, you know, despite your face, and stuff like that.
Like you said, you got all these openings, and like by the time you get to then and you're just then firing them, then there's not much options left.
We're going to get to a point. I mean, and again, I don't believe the Sumrald LSU thing. I want to note how much I don't believe that. There's no shot that they're going to hire John Sumrald LSU.
Yeah, I think a lot of people.
It came out today. Let's talk about that. What were you saying? Sorry.
I said, like, a lot of people have already made that, you know, the point you're making about they don't want to hire anybody from that conference.
They're not going to. It's just not going to happen. Imagine if, again, people are, again, they think I'm stupid, but like, imagine if Texas or Alabama went to Tulane and said, here, John Sumrall, come be my coach. Pitchforks and torches everywhere in the town that night. If you thought the way we acted about Mark Pope being hired here was bad, oh, buddy, you know? So, anyway, last question for you, and then I'll let you be. Your top three. Who's your top three candidates for the job if it becomes open? Say
no specific order?
Let's do specific order.
Okay.
Number one, two, and three. My number one's Sumrall by quite a bit now. Not going to lie to you. And then number two is Stein. I said number three would be a guy like Ryan Grubb at Alabama.
Well, honestly, the issue is that we talk about this so much off, like away from this.
That's why we're doing this podcast now. Instead of doing the phone calls, instead of doing phone conversations that could be podcasts, let's do podcasts.
Well, that's why our three are pretty much identical. I'm going to go, I'd rather have Stein than Sumrall. And the only reason I say that, and it's legitimately one singular reason, is I think I would enjoy watching Will Stein coach a football team.
I'm not going to fight back on that.
This isn't a quality analysis between Stein or Sumrall. Like, I have no reservations about Sumrall's abilities. I think, given what he's been doing at Tulane, when he's given more resources, even though it's a more competitive league, the SEC, given more resources, I think you would see competitive success.
I'm impressed with what, that's why I'm impressed with what he's done at Tulane is considering how much more resources they have than Troy and the fact that he was able to do what he's done there in a way more competitive league than the Sun Belt is really impressive because a lot of coaches do burn when they make just that jump and he's absolutely crushing it. I think he's going to have a chance to play off this year. And that's what I'm worried about too, is if he's in the playoff, that prolongs the search so long. That's a terrible situation for Miss Barnhart. I mean, this search will not be like basketball where it went on for a week. This one might go on for a month or 2 months. I mean, that's the way it goes with football. That's just football in general. And people are going to have to be okay with that. Who's your number two and three?
Okay, I'm going to do two Summerall. And since you said Grubb at three, I'll be different. I'm going to go it's Greg Schumann, right, out of Georgia?
Yeah.
Greg Schumann is a guy that people aren't talking about, and I don't really know why.
Not a bad pick.
The past few Georgia DCs have been
Dan Lanning.
that's all I need to hear. I'll take the risk. On top of that, I mean, Schumann was a DB's coach at Bama for multiple national championship teams.
Nick Saban guy. Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to that either.
The thing that really holds him back as a stellar hire is going to be his age. He's 35. But the thing that also...
See, not the same. Wasn't Lanning literally that age as well?
Yeah, but the weird thing about Schumann is he wasn't a player ever. He never played college football.
Mike Leach didn't either, and he won a lot.
That's kind of what I'm getting at there. There's this new age thing of like we have to hire players. If you look across so many leagues, there's
not really. I mean, yeah, but
a lot of the recent like home run hires have been former players.
Kalen DeBoer, Brian Kelly, Jimbo. I mean, I guess Jimbo did, but like no one remembers Kalen DeBoer for
right.
You know.
Well, I'm more kind of referencing
really.
Dion, and you look at the NFL. You have Vrabel. You know.
Don't hire Dion, Mitch, but he won't do it anyway. But anyway, thanks for joining us. Thanks for answering the questions. Pretty fun time here. You want to say anything to him, Wyatt? Here you go for a second.
What's up, Wyatt?
What's up? Yeah, you did a good job there. We need we definitely should have you on as a third guest from now on.
You talked to no one about that.
I'm not opposed, bro. I've told you before.
At least seven.
All right, you talked to Nolan about that.
I've told you before, dude. It worked. Yeah, all right. Anyway, there you go. What'd you say?
I thought we should have him on a lot more.
Dude, even just for stuff like that, are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's fun. No, opens it up.
I thought that the first time I met him, that he has a lot of knowledge. He just needs a platform for it.
True, I agree. And we're going to give him that.
Like that? Yes. Like he should be a definitely, if not, I wouldn't say like permanent guest because I mean, three people sometimes is a lot, but
yeah,
I mean, at least every now and then.
No, I agree. There was one thing I was going to talk about. We already talked about Georgetown and Kentucky for tomorrow.
But my thing was it's just a timeline thing. Like, when is it going to happen?
That's what I'm worried about. And I'm really worried that we're going to push this too much, you know?
Yeah, I think it's
happening. This is over.
Because I want to do some digging. But I know I won't get any answers.
Yeah.
As to when. Because it's born in Barnhart's hands.
It's tight to the chest. I mean, this is like one person knows. I mean, no.
Yeah.
I would love right now to pick the brain of Mitch Barnhart so bad. Like, it's one of those things, like, if you can ask someone a question and they have to be truthful. You know, I had to find a way to make
it. Maybe
I'd want to know who his number one option is more than I would if he's going to fire him because it's so certain that he's going to fire him.
Yeah, and that's why the timeline's so important because, like we said, like there's going to be a lot of openings. But
the one thing with Summerall that I'm worried about in this search, it's not about Summerall, it's about the search. I hope Barnhart doesn't concede him. And just think, well, there's no chance we can compete with these schools to get him. I actually weirdly think that we could in some extent. You know what I mean? I mean, we can a little more than we used to. And Justin Rowland put out that Auburn and Arkansas, he thought Kentucky would be ahead of them for him if it came down to that. And I think that's really important to note. Now, if LSU came knocking on his door, then it's over. Yeah. It's over. But that's not going to happen. By the way, let's talk about that real quick. How about that? How about the governor of Louisiana saying whatever it was he said? You know, it was hard to really make like, no, not talking about, I'm not talking about the accent. I'm talking about like, he was really a little all over the place with what he was saying. Yeah. And he started to act like Donald Trump should make the hire. And immediately just because like, I said that name, someone's going to come after us. Said, we're all liberal sissies. Stuff like that.
It's going to happen. But I was talking to somebody and I was like, man, you know, it's big time when the governor gets involved like that.
Like that's only Louisiana, LSU. Man.
That's LSU standards. Like, they have the Saints who are bad. Their basketball program's bad.
Women's right now, yeah, right good. Now.
Women's program's good, but football takes the cake.
Yeah, you can't lose three games.
Like, LSU. And, yeah. I mean, football is the thing there.
Okay, let's do this question then, since we're already all in it. Who would Donald Trump hire?
This could go a lot of ways.
Oh, I don't care. Come, if you're get a life, if this makes you mad, I'm not kidding. Get a life.
This could go a lot of ways.
I'm not making a political statement. Get a life, if this makes you mad.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Who would it be? Come on, I got my answer.
Who's yours?
Tommy Tuberville.
Wow.
The senator. Wow. Him or Lou Holtz or Barry Switzer, someone like that. Lou They're Holtz. All old. They're all old.
Lou Holtz.
Maybe not Jimmy Johnson. I mean,
wow. What in your right mind would be like, you know, let's make the president choose our next coach.
I hope.
He probably has no clue what the
It'd be so funny,
on.
Wouldn't it, though? Wouldn't it be funny?
Oh, I would laugh. But like, if this hired, is Kentucky, like, I would
What if they did that and then they hired, like,
No, you. Himself. I'm not joking. This was Kentucky. If they did that with Kentucky, I'd be irritated.
I'd be pretty irritated. Not just because it's Trump, like, because no, it's anyone that's not the athletic director.
Yeah, it's the freaking. He has no clue. Presidents don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Anyway, let's stop this because we're already gonna yelled at.
It's funny though. It's funny.
It's very funny. Are you kidding me? These things are not even that strong, and they're already, you know. That's what they do. They cause these conversations here. How about Brian Kelly, though? How about that guy? How about Brian Kelly? You know? How about – would you take him here? Firm no for me, by the way. Firm no. I would not take him here.
Actually, I was rage-baiting my brother the other day. He might appreciate this because he listens. I was rage-baiting my brother the other day about Brian Kelly. And he got pretty irritated. And then, but at the, I was advocating for him, just to hear. But in all seriousness, no.
At a certain point, someone is such a jackass. At a certain point, yes. That they're unhireable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't want. I was going to say I don't want his personality here.
I don't want that here because he come here to the my family and all that crap again.
Yeah,
he do that here.
That's a slap
I'm so
in
happy
the face.
To be with you in Kentucky. Where's the best bourbon y'all have? Do y'all eat hot browns every day? I hear Tallyho's really good here.
I've actually never had a hot brown.
Me neither.
Yeah, I mean
people act like it's such a big thing here. My family, though.
It's a staple. But it's overplayed.
I think the fan base would actively... I think the fan base would boo him if he did that here, by the way, if he did stuff like that. Because he's such a notorious a-hole now.
Oh, no. You know how Cal, like, at the end of his tenure would
People booed him all the time. And people would boo him over it. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking would happen. Something like that. I think it would be terrible. I think it would be a terrible idea. And people who are like you and rage-baiting other people are sick individuals.
That's funny.
It's disgusting. Funny. Don't do that to a man. That's going to elevate anybody's blood pressure. Who was another fired coach?
Because at the end of it, I was like, but in all seriousness, Will Stein is the man.
Some are all still mine, but I mean, Yeah. I'm happy with Stud. I mean, like Sam said, I love the way they play.
After that article, like that's a whole new perspective.
That's what it was for me, too. It really changed my view of him because he's crazy. He's insane. Yeah. And he will run this place tight. Yeah, in a very healthy way.
And the way that wins right now. Even at Kentucky, he was the juice man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember one pregame, he said, if you need a juice, I'll be here all night. And he just kept, like, that was overplayed. Played a lot throughout the season. Yeah, he was actually, I'd say, a big part in, like, their motivation.
I think he would do a great job here. I really do. I think he'd do a great job. I think Stein would do pretty good. Guys like Grubb and Schumann, I think, would be a little more of a risk. But I could see Grubb like being an offensive guy working out a little more than I could Schumann. But I'm not opposed to the idea of Schumann. He's got the right idea to me about how the defensive coordinators from that program are going on to great things right now. And people who have coached that program in general are going on to great things. But, you know. All right, let's talk some basketball, dude. And I'm not even talking Kentucky basketball. Let's just talk NBA, dude. How about NBA this year? Kentucky's got a ton of people in the NBA. How about that?
Man, the Cats are killing it, baby.
I know. What's been your game of the year so far?
Obviously, it's Rockets and Thunder.
That was so good. I know we're both a Thunder fan. You're a Rockets fan. But that was such a good game. That was just so good. And I would love, by the way.
Perfect opening night. I mean,
it was awesome.
The Michael Jordan segments are freaking amazing.
I love those. And I love, like,
it's not often. What?
Hot take. I like the NBA on NBC more than I ever did like the NBC on TNT. Oh, it's great.
It makes me, because actually yesterday I was kicking myself because I forgot to tune in.
Yeah, me too. I was like busy.
And I was like, oh man, Michael. I was like, man, the Michael segment.
I love his thing. I love the intros. I like the people that call. I love having Mike Tirico back for basketball. Tirico's the best. And Jamal Crawford's fun to listen to me as well. I love those guys. I love all the people on those panels. I didn't watch the Prime games. I haven't watched those yet. People have been a little more sheepish about those.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'll check it out later. ESPN's still ESPN. Glad to see Inside the NBA is not different yet.
Yeah. We're all wondering really that if they would change stuff, but yeah.
It looks exactly the same.
Sounds like Charles and them got in their head and were like, hey, we're not going to change or we're not doing it.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that that's kind of the case at the moment. Now, I'm worried still in the long run that they're going to start sneaking things in and stuff like that, like a lot of companies like that do. But either way, the NBA, dude. Who's the best Kentucky player so far in the league other than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
Who?
I can't say Shai because I'm a Thunder fan. I'm going to just naturally tell you Shai. I'll tell you who it's been to me so far this year.
Who?
The Cat.
Yeah. Bama's disappointed me, actually.
Miami's not going to be good.
No.
At all. I haven't expected
that. That's a duo. Too. Yeah. But other than them, I do like, I think Monk has actually taken another jump this year.
The Kings are like, really funny because they just looked at the Chicago Bulls from like 2021 and went, yeah, that's what we want.
DeRozan and Levine. And,
DeRozan, yeah. Levine, and who else is it that's on that team? There's like a number of people from that roster on that team. Either way, and then Monk obviously still there. I'm really surprised they're not going the tank route. I thought they would, after the De'Aaron Fox trade, just go, all right, screw it, we suck now. Yeah. No, they're trying to win. And actually, Levine looks good this year, too. I mean, they like.
Yeah, he does.
They might actually be a really good team this year.
Actually, not like, other than actually, like, Maxey has actually impressed me.
You know what? I'm actually, yeah, that's true.
Maxey's.
It should totally be Maxey. That's my new answer.
Like some kind of record the other night?
Yeah, he's like he scored more points in the first four games of a season than like Jordan and all these guys.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's crazy. He's like fourth most all time in the first four games of the year. Yeah. How much is he averaging right now? Let me look this up. All right. You're going to hear me typing, so sorry about that. Tyrese Maxey's averaging 37.5 points a game.
That's
39, smiling, 43, man. 28. Shea.
And Parker's on my TV.
Well, that you're not just got so much worse, buddy. Oh God, he's on mine too now. Yeah. I do not like him. Can we talk about Perk? Perk's the worst.
Yeah, go ahead. He's wild, man.
Okay. How about we just talk about ESPN in general? ESPN basketball coverage blows. It's so bad. And I dread right now the fact that I have to listen to Seth Greenberg talk for a few months now. I got to listen to Seth Greenberg, and I got to listen to Jay Williams try to rage bait Kentucky fans forever. It's pathetic.
I will do it because I'm a nerd, and, you know.
I do. You know they're not coming to.
I do like to hear Seth's take on basketball stuff just because he was a coach. And I tend to listen to coaches.
Yeah,
more.
I don't listen to anything. He was such a good coach at Virginia Tech that he's on College Game Day and does broadcasting now.
Either way, if he's successful or not, like I still listen to because they have some sort of knowledge.
I'm just going to be completely straight up with you. He lost me, and he lost all of me last year. He lost all my respect. Every good positive thing. He lost it all for me last year. It was over last year. Him and Jay Williams have lost. All credibility with me. They're not going to get any of my attention anymore as far as that goes. And that Jay Billis is still a defender. He's a big Mark Pope guy. Yeah. But that show will not be here this year. People are trying to mark it down the calendar. They're not coming. And let me tell you why they're not coming here. It's because they know what will happen. People will boo them, and people will probably throw tomatoes at them, and it will be a complete disaster.
For, Arkansas, right?
People thought they would last year, and that's why they didn't come pretty much. Yeah. It's because they would get just absolute – that game especially, they would have gotten just absolutely dumped on.
Oh, no. Tenses were already high.
They can't even be here this year because of that. And he's going to get on TV, and I love how, they're conveniently already – I was watching the Duke-Tennessee game the other day. Conveniently already acting like Purdue won that game. Pretty funny to me. They were just straight up not even acknowledging us and then said that Purdue was one of the best teams in the country. Well, it happened at Rupp. If they had beaten us or if they had beaten us at their place, I promise you they would have taken that out of greater proportion in my life. ESPN, I'm going on a rage here. I know, but one red's hard apple. ESPN has it out for Kentucky. They've had it out for Kentucky for a long time. And now that John Calipari's not there, for some reason, even though they hated him when he was there, they have it out more for Kentucky now. And I don't know why it burns me up this bad.
And what's weird is that Duke and Tennessee game. Tennessee deserves more credit. They really do. I don't think they played that good in that game and still were competitive.
I'm not. I don't think they're going to be that great this year. I'm not bought on
Tennessee. I'm not like a Final Four, obviously, because history.
No Final Fours. You got to get there first. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think they'll be a Sweet 16.
I'm not there with them. Over reliance on freshmen.
I need to see more.
They don't really have. They lost a lot.
I'll tell you a team I'm actually bought in with, full on, is Arkansas.
Me too, I am as well. Yeah. I think they're going to be very good.
People always harp on the shooting. But, yeah. And they also got the athleticism. Malik Thomas can score from all
And I hate levels. To say this. I hate to say this to an extent. Last year was a transition year for them.
Yeah,
it really was. This year is going to be their first.
It's kind of like last year. Both programs didn't have much time, and also, you had Cal's commits ton of.
Now I talked with the team today. There is no team. That was really funny when that happened. That was so funny. Even we were irritated about. I mean, we weren't irritated. We were happy he left, but still, it was funny.
No, it was hilarious.
Team nationally that I'm bought in on, not just in the SEC, because SEC, I think, Kentucky, Florida, Arkansas, and then everybody else is it's Kentucky, Florida, Arkansas, everyone else pretty much is where I'm at with it. Team I'm bought in nationally on, I think, is going to be UConn. I'm expecting big things from them this year. It's going to be an insane bounce-back year from them.
You know what? I think I agree with you because they're loaded on paper more than
they are. They have more than last year, too.
They got Solo Ball back. Carabin's back, right?
Carabin. Yeah, he's back.
Like, you got all that continuity. And you add a couple of he's got it rolling.
The only person they lost was Liam McNeely. And honestly, yeah. He probably should have come back. Had they come back, they're the number one team in the country coming into the year. But I think they're going to be really good. They're going to be a threat for sure. Surprise team this year.
Michigan actually is a team that I was like, they should be top 10.
They still have Golden. They still have Leitner Golden.
More than I don't think so.
I thought him and Wolf is definitely gone.
They have Yaxel.
Yaxel Lindeborg. I'm still not sure what's going to happen with him. National sleeper for you. Who's a national sleeper for you? Team that you think comes out of nowhere and is like, whoa. Wow, they're good.
I'm actually looking here at a couple of ideas.
I got a team that I don't even think is ranked.
SEC I'm locked in on.
Yeah, me too.
As you can tell.
Me too, but that's why we got to talk about this.
Yeah. Well,
I'll hit you with one right now.
Yeah.
Villanova.
Okay, I need reason.
I'm a big Kevin Willard guy. I like Kevin Willard a lot. I saw one of their exhibitions, and I hate to say it, Caden Lewis looks quite good. He might – that's going to hurt us. I'm not going to lie. We're going to hurt from that. And then you know who else their guard is? And you'll understand why I like this. Who their backup point guard or shooting guard is? Do you know?
Devin Askew?
Yes, it's Devin Askew.
Okay.
They have a 30-year-old man playing shooting guard. That's going to benefit them because he's got the age and experience. And there you go. How is he still in college?
It's crazy.
How old is Devin Askew? Devin Askew's 23 years old. Okay. How's he only 23? God, we're old. Oh, my God. Devin Askew's still in college.
I just know that because my dog was a puppy in his freshman year. And now she's almost five. Yeah, I mean that's crazy. That's a tall.
If I were that dog and I had to watch Devin Askew play basketball, I'd probably jump.
Yeah,
and she
was a puppy, and she had to grow up watching that terrible season
and that terrible point guard.
I've actually found my team now that I look at it. I will actually say Kansas. I know they're ranked 19th, but I think they could be a top 10 team.
They're going to be like us with Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham. I think they'll be on and off during the year, and then when they get to the tournament, something's going to happen, and I don't know why.
I'm good friends with a Kansas fan, and he'll probably say the same thing.
Jacob Polichick.
Yeah.
Yep. Shout out Jacob. Yep.
Good man. Good
he
man.
Literally That's named his didn't he literally name his dog Jayhawk?
No, Atticus.
Atticus, hang on. What am I thinking of? I have another friend who's a Kansas fan. Her name is Dog Jayhawk.
But no, I saw Jacob today, and he actually got Coke spelled on him during the press conference today on his backpack.
Job, man.
So that was an adventure.
Man, how about this? This has been fun, hasn't it? This has been fun.
Yeah.
How was your time at the practice, and then we'll wrap it up?
Okay. Yeah, I was about to tell you a little bit of intel we gathered today. All of our observing guys. Denzel Irony didn't participate in practice today.
That's not great.
Looked like, so somebody asked him, and he's like, I'm just taking a day off. But what was weird is like, he was clearly limping or something. I don't know if it was his groin or something to do with his leg. But, yeah. So I'd monitor. I didn't even have any wrap or anything.
Yeah.
So that could be something to monitor. I would lean not playing tomorrow, but, I mean, just because it's an exhibition.
And does anybody else know about this?
Yeah, we were all like, talking about it.
So, okay.
Yeah. We were all kind of – I don't know if anybody's done any digging on it, but
That's what I'm talking about. Is anyone put anything public out there, or are we going to be the first ones to do that?
Don't think so.
There you go. I guess it's out there now.
Well, yeah. Other than that, it was a fun day. I want to thank Coach Pope for actually putting it together.
Like, yeah, how was your dad? How was your dad's time there?
It was great, man. Like, he got a little emotional and was like, man. Because, like, it's different. Like, when you're there doing media stuff, you sometimes, not all the time, you do get caught up in stuff. And
mm-hmm.
It's like, man. But today you really got to be like, I get to do this for a living. Like, it's a unique opportunity. And as a fan, like, I mean, Coach Pope didn't have to do that, but he did. And in the press conference, he only family members could ask the questions. So we got a couple of weird questions, a couple of wild questions. It was fun. We got to watch about 2 hours of practice. And it was fun.
Well, I'm glad that that happened for you all. I'm very glad that you and your dad got to do that. I'm sure that meant a lot to both of you.
I actually was worried that it would be like, you know, it'd be like, you only get to watch like 30 minutes of practice. Dad drove up 2.5 hours and only got to see 30 minutes of practice.
Had Calipari been the coach, it would have been like 15.
Yeah.
That's what would happen, really. And like,
honestly, when I saw the email of that happening, I kind of did a double take. Because I was like, really?
Dude, I don't blame you.
And I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's a unique opportunity for my family. Like, my dad. Like, it's the first person I thought of. Like, it was great, man. It was great.
Well, I'm glad that y'all got to do that again. I mean, I know that meant a lot to you. And I know it meant a lot. I'm sure it meant a lot to your dad as well. So, and to everyone else who got to participate in that as well. Good on Coach Pope for that too. Like, that's a cool thing to do, and I hope that they keep doing that. They need to do that.
Man. Like when I say this, I mean it. It was actually probably one of the best days I've had in a while, basketball wise.
I mean, they need to keep doing that. Like,
definitely overall, because football, you know how that's going.
Kentucky Georgetown tomorrow, going to be fun, and then sadly we have a football game on Saturday. I'm not going to pay a lot of attention. That's why I have to. Me and you both kind of have to, but like, whatever. Yeah. Or else we're not going to have anything to talk about on Monday.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. You want to do some DraftKings and let's get out of here?
Yeah.
Or let's do some betting and let's get out of here. 1-800-GAMBLER, as a reminder, 1-800-GAMBLER, if you or a loved one are suffering from gambling addiction or a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. They'll hit you up with consultant, whatever, and help you kick that problem.
Did your Georgetown prediction change at all in the last?
No, it stays the same. I think we're going to beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. They've had a lot of roster overhaul, and it's their program is actually not looking too hot. You could tell by the people.
We've done more studying, me and you. They're not very happy with that, Cooley. 1-800-GAMBLER, again, Wyatt and I are not and have never claimed to be experts. So please, whatever gambling you do, please, you know, proceed with your own discretion. All right, let's start out. Number 9, Vanderbilt at number 20, Texas. Actually, give me just a second. Who are you taking in that? Let's go. Texas is minus 142. Or Vanderbilt plus 120. So there you go. Taking Vandy, by the way. That's who I'm taking.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is going to be their signature win.
I think Kentucky exposed them a little bit.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, because the pass rush, and not only that, but Arch Manning looks out of whack. And I think Vandy. Yeah, I think Vandy gets this one.
I think I think this is going to be their signature win. Finally, they're due. That LSU win, it looked like it first was. Now their season has completely fallen apart. So, sorry, I'm looking for.
Oh no! Take your time.
Yeah, I know.
I do think this is one where Vandy can get it.
All right, I want to do this real quick.
Pretty good, because I think Tennessee has a lot of holes right now, especially after playing Kentucky like that. I didn't really keep up with the last week. Did they play last week?
Who, Texas? Yeah, they played Mississippi State and went to overtime.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was a complete disaster. They're really vulnerable. They're not going to win. Let's go Penn State at Ohio State. Ohio State's a minus 21.5 favorite, by the way. Penn State plus 1,000. I'm definitely taking Ohio State in this game.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Can you believe, did you really think coming into the year that this was going to get to this for them?
No.
They're really bad.
No.
They're really bad, dude. I'm trying to check out our last run here. Wyatt, I'm going to tally this up while we talk. So either way, there you go. So you're taking Ohio State as well?
Oh, yeah.
Number 10, Miami at SMU. This one's a little more intriguing. Miami's a minus 470 on money line. I'm gonna take Miami, but I'm gonna actually be careful with this game. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, I've been Miami all the way. Like I've said a lot on here. Like I've bet on them a few times and they've come through. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna ride Miami.
Take Miami. Cool. West Virginia at number 22, Houston. Houston minus 575 money line. How about that? I'm really split on this one. I'm actually going to take this as my upset of the week, and I'm going to go ahead and take West Virginia.
Full-on upset?
Full-on upset.
I've got Houston, but West Virginia covers.
Really?
Yeah.
Not terrible. I've definitely heard worse.
I think they'll probably escape it.
Sorry, I'm writing these down real quick so that we can go back. VU Houston. I just think Rich Rod's going to pull one out of his butt. You know what I mean? Number 16, Louisville at Virginia Tech.
If there's one to do it, plus Louisville 25, that's a good.
Like that. Yeah, really. Louisville minus 410 in this game, so Virginia Tech plus 320. I will take Louisville, but proceed with caution with this one.
Yeah, I'll take Louisville. Ooh, that right. Spread is 10.5.
It is.
Yeah, I'll take the cover. That's actually, That might be a straight bet.
Dude, I mean, I'm telling you, these games are kind of, we're going to be crazy at one point. This is insane. Preseason rankings, have they held up? Dude, this would have been a great week, but they did not. Number 5, Georgia and Florida. The Florida-Georgia line rivalry renewed in Jacksonville. This is a way closer line than I thought it would be. Georgia is only minus 298. Florida's plus 240. Okay. How in the world?
Okay, yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing? Georgia's going to nut stomp them.
Might have to look at the odds market and see who the heck's screwing up here.
I'm taking Georgia for sure in that game, man.
Yeah.
Like, not even close. You kidding me?
Yep.
Okay. Give me just a second. I'm going to go back here and see our last little.
No, I'll just make that my lock. Yeah, might as well.
You're going to make that your lock of the week for you? You know what? That's not a bad idea either. I can't believe – really, like, who thinks that that's going to be close? Who really thought that was going to be close?
Yeah.
That's actually disgusting, if you ask me.
What have they done to, like, keep it close like that?
One, two.
Am I missing something? Is it like an injury? Or two?
So we both, in our last week, went 7-4.
Oh.
We're okay. We're not that bad. So there you go. And I'll go back and do this.
Didn't you say there was a week a few years ago, or a few weeks ago?
3 weeks ago, you went 11-0.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm sure you – are you tallying all the weeks together?
I'm tallying – yeah, I just tallied the last time we did this. For example, we both took Alabama to win.
11-0, yep.
Against Tennessee.
The record is pretty good.
So – All right, let's go ahead and go.
I need to start putting my money where my mouth is.
Indiana at Maryland. I'm taking Indiana.
I'll take Maryland to cover, but yeah, I'll take Indiana.
Maryland cover, but Indiana. All right. Number 13, Texas Tech at Kansas State. I'm taking Texas Tech. I'm a big believer in that team this year. I actually think they might win out. Not going to lie to you, as long as they can figure out quarterback a little bit more.
Yeah.
Number 12, Notre Dame at Boston College. Murder. This will be a murder. Notre Dame, are you kidding me? All right. Number 15, Virginia at Cal. The woke mob gets it done in Berkeley. This is going to be a little bit of an upset, but I'm taking Cal.
I haven't watched much Virginia.
Maybe
like one of their games.
They should not have won. They should not have won against North Carolina last week. So I'm just not.
I'll take Cal. Nice underdog.
Oh, you're going to take Cal there. Okay.
Yeah.
Still not my upset of the week. My upset of the week is still going to be West Virginia over Houston. South Carolina at Ole Miss. This will also be a bloodbath, in my opinion. I think Ole Miss will destroy South Carolina, even though South Carolina coming off an absolute heartbreaker against Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that probably deflates them.
I think so, too, because they had Alabama beat in that game and just could not get it done. Just Alabama
to be good this year, too.
What happened, man? Shane Beamer will not be their coach next year. He's definitely leaving. Mm-hmm.
Leaving or fired?
I don't think they'll fire him. Surely they won't fire him. Number 18, Oklahoma at number 14. My personal game of the week this week. I think it's going to be really fun time. Dang. I'm going to take.
Of course it's 7:30.
Who are you going to take for this one?
I'll take Tennessee. That explosive offense actually intrigues me a lot.
Tennessee. I'm going to take Oklahoma. I think this is going to be their big win of the year finally. They're due one, and I think this is going to be it. Tennessee's minus 155, by the way. It's only a minus 3, though. Only a 3-point spread.
Yeah.
And then we'll do our last one here. This one will be a really good one as well. Number 17, Cincinnati at number 24, Utah. I could see a lot of things happening here, but it being at Utah, man, it's hard to pass up on the Utes in this game for me. But I'm going to do it anyway.
I picked against Cincinnati a few last week, and they destroyed me. So I'm going to go Cincinnati.
Both taking Cincy. There you go.
Maybe I think it was last week, actually.
Cincinnati's done me so well. Are you kidding me? They've done me so well. And so I'm going to keep going with it. And there you go. So there's our predictions, everyone.
Yes, because didn't they play Baylor?
They played Iowa State, and me and you both took it as our upset that week.
I think last week somebody played Baylor.
That was them, Cincinnati's a shockingly good team this year. I mean, them and Texas Tech are going to be I'm telling you, man. Very, very much. All right, that's going to be it for us for this Breaking Blue banter. It's time to go to bed.
Did we do Kentucky Auburn predictions?
No, we did not. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way then. We did not. Give me your score, and we're not even going to do MVP. Give me your score, and give me whether Mark Stoops is fired after it or not.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, the injury report has a lot of Auburn players out, but the bad thing about the injury report is I'm not sure if they were already out or not, but McGowan is probable. What the heck is that? And then you have Macklin questionable. Watson. Okay, you must be a freshman. But, I will go ahead and take Auburn. But I do think it's close, like you said, like, you know, your worst case scenario you brought up earlier. I think it's a 6-point game. And I will go Auburn 33-27.
We're not scoring 27 points. Our offense will be closed up. I think it's going to be Auburn 24, Kentucky 6. That's my final score. I think Mark Stoops doesn't get fired, but I think this is going to be the I mean, Tennessee was the nail in the coffin to me.
That's where I am.
This is going to be the one where people stop thinking, oh, God, he's not going to actually fire him. This is going to be the one where everyone's going to just realize, yeah, no, he's going to get fired, isn't he? Could see this being the end.
The question is, does it happen as quick as we want it to? Or does it happen? Yeah, that's the thing, man.
Well, we're going to find out.
We've got to find out if he's got the stones to do it quick enough.
We're going to find out. I'm Nolan Fleming at NolanUKY27 on X. He's Mr. Wildcat Wave himself, Wyatt Huff, at Wildcat_Wave. You can follow the Breaking Blue Pod at Breaking Blue Pod on X and follow the Breaking Blue page on Facebook. Keep up with us. We will definitely follow this coaching carousel even closer than we are right now. And we will do a lot more content once the change is made. I can already foresee that me and you are going to be on the podcast a lot when that happens.
Yeah. Because
it's just the way we roll. Twitter Spaces are going to be a thing probably too from my end at least. So everyone stay in tune because we're about to hit a bumpy season. I'm just going to call it right now. And we will hit you up with some not just coverage but also talking points and also let you interact with us. Chats are always open and live, so enter those chats and let's just talk about what's going to happen and what we want to happen, stuff like that. So stay sober, go Big Blue. Everyone's be safe, enjoy your weekend, have a very safe Halloween, don't do anything stupid, but enjoy yourself. We'll see you later.